dear Lord. What a sad little life, Jay.
Now, on FUBAR Radio, it's Pulse of the Nation.
Well, I'm being shady-ish,
I'm going to find me, Darren!
Boring!
You have to catch me first, I'm like a whippet.
Nah, it's not fun, I've got school.
Bus wankers!
And that was the fucking news.
Here's your host, Andrew White.
Hello, and welcome back to Pulse of the Nation, another week of news and mischief and whatever joy we can bring to your airwaves. I am indeed your host, Andrew White. We've got a brilliant show in store, as I always say, and often deliver, I like to think, and especially so today with today's brilliant guests. We've got Toussaint Douglas in the studio as my co-host. We've got Tiff Stevenson joining us later, and we also have a very exciting mystery guest. Well, she's not much of a mystery. She's an icon. You'll know her immediately from such iconic shows as Tracy Beaker, perhaps.
Fuck off!
Yes, the one and only Danny Harmer. We spoke to Danny about her time on Tracy Beaker, what she's got in the pipeline, and all that sort of stuff. Very bizarre and sort of surreal to come face to face with the actor who sort of was my childhood. But that's very exciting. We've already spoken to Danny. That'll be later on the show. But first, let's, as we always do, get into the stories from this week. Well, actually, on a preface this. Language is very hard sometimes, and you wouldn't believe that we've been doing this for 9 weeks now. I still do not have a grasp of basic English language. No, I want to preface this by saying that actually, even though the news is very, very upsetting, I'm in a much happier mood. And it turns out, as it turns out, a lot of my friends have seasonal affective disorder. How every year I forget that the rain and cold make me sad. How is it every year the sun rolls around in March and we're just like, oh, I feel really weirdly happy. Like, do not let yourself forget this winter. Buy a sad lamp for something. Christ, I'm meeting people who have been just like clinically depressed for 3 months, like skipping down the street. Please, we need to sort this out. Remember, this is a note to future selves. Remember, the winter makes us sad. So I am happy, even though the news maybe is not so happy. International relations continue to be tense with two very sort of contradicting statements. J.D. Vance called the UK some random country that hasn't fought a war in 30 years, while on the other end of the spectrum, Putin called Britain the world's biggest warmonger and blamed us for starting both world wars. Thankfully for world peace, these comments come at the perfect time to coincide with the Britain's most impotent PM. These conflicting inflammatory statements have only one solution: indecisive, toothless platitudes. It is the perfect middle ground for Keir Starmer to occupy. He does not have to address any of this. He can just float around in his sort of amoeba jellyfish politicless state and not address either of these claims, even though they are both demonstrably false. First of all, although we are technically some random country, we have fought a war in the last 30 years alongside the US. We went into Iraq with the US. That was our illegal invasion too, J.D. Vance, okay? Tony Blair did not throw away his legacy on the Iraq war and invented WMDs just for you to forget that, okay? So we have been to war in the last 30 years, but we didn't start the World War. I will say that to Putin, obviously. Very different sort of causes of both world wars. World War II, sort of the rise of fascism in Europe post-World War I. World War I, sort of cousin fucking royals just deciding who gets to control Europe after the fall of the Ottoman Empire. And speaking of cousin fucking inbred royals, King Charles has marked Commonwealth Day with his very own radio station. Yes, we have competition here at FUBAR Radio. Charles himself has started a radio show celebrating some of the best songs from across the Commonwealth. It is a show entitled The Best Oppressed People Who Have Made Good Dance Tracks. That's what he's gone for. That's the name of the show. So he's highlighted Beyonce, Kylie Minogue, and I've always had a fascination between the royals and music. There's always sort of an interesting sort of vein there. My main question with the royals and music is, when Princess Diana died, did Elton John try any of his other songs before he landed at Candle in the Wind? You know, like, obviously he's trying to do this tribute to Princess Diana. Is he noodling around the piano going, ooh, hold me closer, don't if I had... No, that's not... It's not quite right. And don't go crashing my car. No, that's not... I'm not still standing. No, that's not... Yeah, that's... See, this is a slightly contentious piece of comedy, if you can even call it comedy, that I realise now in this moment, I normally do live, and I can sort of ride a cheekiness of a live audience. Here, in this sort of sterile radio environment, I am so self-conscious of how that comes across. Trust me, that was meant to be cheeky and tongue-in-cheek, and it could have gone on a lot longer. There are a lot of Lion King tracks that fit with the... Hakuna Matata, Our Lady Diana, it tracks perfectly. So yeah, let's not get bogged down in that bit. Hopefully it translates as cheeky rather than offensive over the radio. Meanwhile, speaking of offensive, in America, Andrew Tate is continuing to cause waves. He's been accepted back into the US by the Trump administration. And it's such a dangerous position, really, to put Andrew Tate back into any sort of position of platform, because the inceldom and the sort of toxic masculinity culture that is pervasive will just continue to grow under him being allowed to, operate freely. And you've got to be very careful. It's a very sort of thin line to fall into inceldom. I was very nearly there myself. You know, I used to wear a fedora as a child, and there's very sort of limited options for a child wearing a fedora. A boy wearing a fedora has two options in life, and that is either gay or an incel. Those are the two routes they can go down, you know, either going to hate women sexually or conceptually. So just look, if you have kids, if they're starring fedoras, for the love of God, take them to the musical theatre, give them a fighting chance, right? Preferably Phantom of the Opera. That way, even if they are straight, they've seen a warning story about being a touch-starved loner. There's not a lot going on in the news, and I've not been that interested because I've just been generally happy. A very bizarre place to be. I'm happy. I've got no parking qualms. I'm just living a good life, and hopefully my guest co-host today is as well. I'll bring him now. Hello, Toussaint Douglas.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming in. Are you feeling happier?
No, I think I'm going to balance you out. Yeah, I'm going to take the edge off that happiness, because we talked before the show, and you don't live in London anymore. Yeah. So I think that is probably why you're happy, whereas I have only lived in London, and so it's just not possible. It's not possible to live in London and be happy. I don't think
the spring doesn't affect you. It's just like a constant drudge.
I think the spring takes the edge off, but then it's like, you know, there are still just pigeons everywhere.
Well, we've got seagulls down in Portsmouth. Massive pigeons.
Yeah, seagulls. I feel like seagulls are like more aggressive. Pigeons just are like, they just kind of wear you down slowly. Do you know what I mean? They're just very like, the pigeons don't, you never see a pigeon like smile.
You see the seagull smile.
I mean, you see a seagull kind of like, oh, you know, they're more like,
they've
like
got a happy vibe. Yeah.
They kind of, they're more animated, whereas pigeons are just like,
oh yeah, very sort of terse.
Yeah.
So you're saying seagulls, if they cause you problems, they've stolen a chip. It's an in and out attack, smashing grab.
I think seagulls have an outlet for their inner turmoil, whereas pigeons are very emotionally repressed, and I think that is because they live in London.
That's why.
Yeah.
So you think therapy for pigeons is maybe the solution?
They don't need bread. They need a good therapist. Yeah, that's what they need. I loved how I was thinking, can we swear in this? And then you just said cousin fuckers. And I was like, okay, cool.
Yes, I should have.
That's the tone. All right, okay.
Yeah, great. This is completely uncensored. Sometimes to my detriment. But here we go. So look, you've got so much lovely stuff out there on online that I can push people towards. At @Toussaint_Graham. On Instagram, and I think you have some of the most underappreciated social content out there in the comedy game, which I realize is a double-edged sword of a compliment.
I've heard that before. Why haven't you got more followers? Like, because people don't want to follow me. it's quite a straightforward calculation. I think you have the followers you have. Do you know what I mean? Like, your God, you should have more followers. Or should I, or do I just have the followers that I should have because I have those followers?
That's a very stoic way to look at it. But I think you make, because like, you know, people walk down the street and just talking to their camera, not to like diss that. You know, if it's working for them.
I'm dissing it. Yeah. You people who just walk down the street looking into your camera, do something else. No, actually, some of it's quite good.
Yeah, some of it is quite good. But some of it's also lazy.
I can't do that because I can't, like, I just can't. It feels like I'm looking, I picture someone just looking right at me when I've tried to do it before, like that kind of walk and talk. And I feel like I'm looking, like staring at someone in the eye, and I don't like making eye contact. So, like, I end up just like doing it where I'm just looking on the paper, and it's just not. And then you watch it back and you go, actually, no, this is really not good.
It's not engaging at all.
It's not engaging. Like, you have to look into the. But I like pitched on, so I was like, I can't do that.
That's so interesting that sort of like, that's too intense.
It's too intense.
But then you're happy to do like, go like street interviews and stuff. Because some of the content I've highlighted, you spent 48 hours pretending to be a Conservative candidate in the election, went and flied in the streets. Went to a Tommy Robinson rally. You've done ASMR talk TV, just like talking to people on the street about some contentious issues.
So I mean, the Tommy Robinson, so that was like, I spent 4 hours as a proud English patriot. That was the kind of thing. So it was like a journey of trying, and I ended up in a massive rally. But that was weirdly less intimidating than doing a face-to-face kind of video, because I think I just threw myself into it, and I really genuinely wanted to try and be like a proud English patriot and stuff like that. Mm. So it was that kind of like, you know, there was almost like a bit of a sincerity to it. So I didn't feel kind of like intimidated by them. I was trying to like, you know, be them, like outdo them, like outpatriot them, kind of thing. It was almost like I've always felt a bit different, a little bit kind of like a little bit odd and stuff like that, and never really fitting in. So it's like, this was like my attempt to try and like, can I fit in with this specific group of people that have these kind of specific, you know, like cultural kind of norms and practices and stuff like that. I almost feel like an alien, like if their only idea of like a proud English patriot was like the comments on the Daily Mail articles, do you know what I mean? Like, what would they be? That was the kind of thought process, do you know what I mean? So like, that was the kind of like, and you just run with it. So I had, at a certain point, I was in the kind of huge crowd and I had like slogans, and you know, one of them was like British objects for British museums, you know what I mean? Like, and people turn around going like, yeah, I think that's kind of why we're here, like, yeah, we want like a British, you know, yeah, but that does that actually make sense? Like, there's that kind of like,
just completely messing with their brain.
But yeah, it's kind of like, you know.
Nice. Well, it's funny you say about like not fitting in, because I see you are working up a new show called Purple Drizzle.
Yes, yeah, it's work, bro. So I think this will be Edinburgh. This is my first time doing a show proper in Edinburgh. Mm-hmm. I think that's where kind of we first kind of really got to know each other, was Edinburgh a couple of years ago. We just used to see each other every, because we were flyering and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's why this is, I think you're happy now, is because my only comparison is on the streets of Edinburgh, day 20, just like, oh, hi, how's it going? Yeah, six people in today, yeah.
But you were so good, like, you were so on it, like, you were so, you know, like, really, like, I found you quite inspiring, like, you really focused, like, you know, and you just did your thing like every single day, and like I felt like you were one of the most kind of consistent. Some people were really up and down, but you always had like a consistency to you, which I thought like, okay, there is a way of doing this and not losing your mind.
Oh, I'm really glad.
I think some people are like, I think they've gone.
They should have left a week ago.
Yeah, they've properly gone there. Yeah.
I always think that there should be like a weekly check-in at the Edinburgh Fringe. If you don't know, the Edinburgh Fringe is the world's biggest arts festival. Very sort of largely comedian-led now. There's loads of comedians just going in, doing the whole month. But I think just every Sunday we'll have a little check-in and we'll go, look, it's been 4 days now, we're into the festival, it's not going to be you this year. If you want, you can go home, pack up and leave. And then just, and then at the end, the last week will just be the people having the best time of their lives, and everyone else would have been accepted defeat.
Mate, that's genius. It should be like that. Like, you have been evicted from the Edinburgh Festival. Please take your show and leave. Like, I would be so happy with that. Like, just put us out of our misery. Like, your show is okay, you can now go.
Put in a date at the Bill Murray and get out of here. I agree. So potentially this may be your Edinburgh debut then, Purple Drizzle. And I've got the bio here from the Leicester Comedy Festival.
Oh.
Tired of being seen as odd by his peers, family, close friends, agent, fellow beekeepers, now that caught my eye, and long-term partner, award-winning comedian Houston Douglas is out to prove he can be just as mainstream. Are you actually a beekeeper?
Yeah, I'm an apprentice beekeeper. I'm a trainee beekeeper. So I like apprentice with this lovely woman called Karen, who basically shows me the ropes and gets me to lift. They're really actually quite heavy, the hive. So I'm the muscle. But if you've ever seen me, you'd know that's funny, because I'm not muscle. So actually, she's a lot fitter than actually being a beekeeper is surprisingly a really good way of staying healthy and strong, like core, because it's like the hives are quite, you know, it's quite manual, a lot of it. You have to kind of lift stuff. And
was this inspired because you won a bee house on Richard Osman's House of Games?
Maybe that was the butterfly effect. I hadn't even thought about that. Yeah, I won that. Yeah, I gave it to my dad, who just didn't care.
Yeah, that's a very funny video on your Instagram, which, just to plug again, @Toussaint_gram, where you give him the bee house you've won from Richard Osman, national TV, weekly, 5 days a week you're on that show.
Yeah.
And he just goes, oh, you're still doing comedy?
Yeah, it was just like brutal. I was like, ah, cool, all right. But that, yeah, that's the old man, Kev. But yeah, I just they're just awesome beats. Like, they're so cool. Like, the way they you know, there's like thousands of them in the hype, but they're all so coordinated. Like, they, you know, they all know their place, all know what they're doing. There's like a real kind of sense of community. But actually, then when Karen starts explaining it, she read like the romanticism completely goes. So like, actually, the worker bees are controlling the queen, and it's actually quite brutal. And it's like, okay, cool. Like,
so you're actually looking at
they're
like...
kind of like pimping her out, basically, and like she has to like pop out kids all the time, and she doesn't get to. And if she slows down, they like beat her. And I was like, okay, cool, Karen. All right, I think I've had enough of the science, mate. Okay, I'm just here for the vibes. Yeah. Like, you're ruining the vibes. I'm just here for the vibes.
Amazing.
And the honey.
A sort of feminist reimagining of bee culture.
Yeah,
I love that.
Yeah,
well, that's really beautiful stuff. I didn't know whether you're actually a beekeeper, because I can never guess where you're going to go. So that's cool that you really are. Maybe we'll talk a bit more about it after our break.
I might do some beekeeping videos. Have you seen that? There's that one woman on social media. She's like massive on TikTok. She like goes around, because sometimes bees, like, they'll like escape hives and stuff, and they'll like land in trees or whatever. So like, that you get a beekeeper going to like try and take the colony of bees, and like, so she'll go without a bee suit and she'll just like kind of like, she's like a bee whisperer. She like coaxes them, and it's just absolutely mad. Because she like ends each other with like, another great day saving the bees, and she like whispers them. She's got like millions of followers.
Damn, well, that's what you need to do. Another day saving the bees. Yeah. We're going to head into a break now, but we'll be right back.
Foobar Radio.
Right, welcome back to Pulse of the Nation. We just had a lovely little break there with beekeeper, comedian, and fashion icon, Toussaint Douglas. We're about to head to a little pre-recorded chat we had with the Danny Harmer of Tracy Beaker. Toussaint, are you a Tracy Beaker fan?
I'm obviously, Tracy Beaker's an icon, right, in our childhoods. But I always felt like she was someone I could never be. Like, she's just so confident. She would just talk back to all the adults. And I was like, mate, if I did that, it'd be game over with my, you know what I mean? Like, my mum would just be like, boom.
She was a proper badass character. And Danny Harmer is a badass actor. She was very cool to talk to her. We'll cut to that now. Enjoy this chat with the Tracy Beaker, Danny Harmer. Joining me down the line, an icon of British TV, the face of my childhood, perhaps. Is that too intense to introduce this early into the conversation? Maybe. But it's none other than the brilliant Danny Harmer. Hello.
Oh, well, thank you. What an introduction. That made me feel wonderful and old all at the same time. So thank you.
Well, to be fair, I look a lot older than I actually am. So you might have aged yourself just based on my hairline. So don't worry about that. But yes, of course, Danny Harmer, the face, the icon that is Tracy Beaker. And it's still ongoing, this sort of dynasty, over 20 years, still new stuff being made in that sort of Jacqueline Wilson world. How amazing is that, that it just keeps going?
Yeah, it's pretty incredible, actually. I mean, I owe Jacqueline a lot. Dame Jacqueline.
Of course, yes, please.
Of course. How dare I speak out of turn? I mean, it's one heck of a character she's written. And I feel so honoured that I still get a chance to play her. And I really hope that I continue to do so. I mean, some actors might find it a bit strange that I say that, because, you know, some actors would probably want to just get as far away from a character that I'm really well known for. But I absolutely love it. I'm the total opposite. I'm like everyone else. I'm kind of desperate to see what's happening to Tracy and where we're going to take Tracy next. I think Grandma Tracy Beaker would be absolutely hysterical. I know that she'd be causing all sorts of mischief and problems. So I hope that I get to play her well into my 80s and 90s, quite frankly.
I hope so too. Yes, I could definitely see a sort of care home Tracy Beaker causing shenanigans. Just like, yep, absolutely. I'm fully on board for that. Although I heard in an interview, this may no longer be the case, but in 2020, you said you never actually read the original Tracy Beaker. Is that still true? You still never read it?
I've still never read it, and I'm gonna go down with this ship, and quite frankly, I shall never read it. I've got this far in life, and do you know what? I think it's kind of, in a weird way, I think it helped me get the part, because I had no idea of this character apart from the character that I made her. I think had I read the book, I think that would probably had been Jacqueline's version of Tracy.
Yeah.
Whereas I think my version of Tracy was very different from the book's version of Tracy. Obviously, with the BBC's version of Tracy Beaker and the script, it was kind of quite far removed from the books.
Mm.
So I think in a way it kind of helped that I hadn't read Tracy Beaker, which is kind of weird because I was a huge Jacqueline Wilson fan, like kind of bordering on stalker. I'd read like every single book apart from Tracy Beaker. It was very strange. I don't know why that one kind of slipped under my radar.
Well, it feels fated. If that's the only one you managed to avoid, it does seem like it was meant to be.
It was destiny. I'm going to put it down to destiny. Fate.
But you obviously, you've got kids now yourself, and I heard you say that they read Jacqueline Wilson books. Do they also watch your original Tracy Beaker turn? Have they seen you in the original CBBC series?
Yeah, so my daughter, she's 8 now, so she's very much like getting into kind of CBBC. We've kind of upgraded now from CBBS to CBBC. She's very cool.
A big day in anybody's life.
Very ahead of her years is Avery Bell. And she loves all of the Jacqueline Wilson books. She's read Tracy Beaker, actually. But I'm like this, la, 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 don't tell me anything when she's reading it. And yeah, she's watched quite a lot of The Dumping Ground. And I tried to show her a bit of Tracy Beaker, but she was like, Mum, this is really boring. I was like, how dare you.
Is sacrilege.
Yeah, hopefully she'll sit down and watch the OG series one day, but she's very much into The Dumping Ground. I think it's because it's kind of, you know, newer, fresher. The kids are younger, you know.
Well, it's amazing that this has lasted 20 years. It's sort of grown up with every generation. Also, so uniquely British, because I suppose you're the closest thing we have to like a Disney Channel dynasty over here. You're our Hannah Montana. Like those Disney Channel stars would grow up to be like massive. What do you think you'd have a very different career? Would you have had a Miley Cyrus style path if you had done Tracy Beaker in the US?
Well, I'd have a lot more money. That's for sure. If I was over in America, I guess it's I suppose I would have definitely had a very different career. I think that over here we tend to keep it in the family. I think we tend to nurture our talent a bit better. I think there could definitely be a bit more support, but I think we're definitely getting better at that. Yeah. I think our media definitely needs to treat people a lot better.
Oh,
I'm very lucky in terms of the fact I grew up without social media, thank goodness. Otherwise that would have been truly dreadful. I suppose I would be a pop star / actor / movie star if I'd been in America.
But who knows what we can say of your mental state in that position. It could have gone completely AWOL. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. So I'm kind of very thankful that I'm British in that sense.
Yeah, it is. You're so right about social media as well. More and more, I move towards the extremist position of no smartphones till 18 as the years progress. And you had quite an interesting path into acting. You started very young. You did Stagecoach. And so I'd also did Saturday musical theatre classes. I've got two final quickfire questions because I know you're a big fan of RuPaul's Drag Race. If you were to cast a queen alongside you in the 2025 Panto, who would you like to star alongside?
Ah, Tia Coffey, without a doubt. I love her so much.
Yeah, she's a delight.
She's just brilliant. I mean, she can sing, she can act, she's absolutely hilarious. And the fact that she's like 8 foot tall and I am like 2 foot nothing when we're stood next to each other is hysterical. So just for that alone, I think we are the best double act. So we would be great together.
That's brilliant. I can imagine the children in the audience being like, how do they get the fairy in the panto so small? I don't understand it. What a trick of magic. Oh, that's brilliant. Good choice, Tia Coffey. And my final question is what's next? What's on the horizon? You've done so much and there's still so much yet to come. What's the next project?
I know, to be honest, I have no idea. And that is quite scary and wonderful at the same time. I really hope that there's more directing work on the horizon. That's kind of where I would see things going. But you just never know. And I'm kind of at these kind of weird crossroads in my life at the kind of nearly age of 40. I just don't know. I'm being a mummy. So I'm just trying to find that work-life balance that I still haven't quite figured it out yet. And I kind of like, do you know what? That's okay.
Well, yeah.
And sometimes when people say, what's next? I kind of think, I panic and I go, should I just make up an answer to make it look like I'm really busy? But actually, I think it's okay to say, I don't know sometimes. And at the moment, I don't know. And fabulous. I think that's all right. And I'm okay with that.
100%. Things come out of everywhere. You head in so many different directions. I mean, this radio show for me came out of nowhere. It's just, yeah, that's the beauty of, and obviously the terror of this industry, but also the beauty is there's so many different things to do and you never know when they're going to creep up on you. So yeah, best of luck, exactly. Danny, with whatever comes next.
Thank you so, so much. Who knows, I might be the next Spielberg.
Right, there we go. Danny Harmer of Tracy Beaker fame. And I think I was saying to her on the interview that like she's the closest thing we have to like a Disney Channel dynasty. Like she was huge when we were kids.
Yeah.
And I loved it so much.
Yeah, there's not really anyone comparable really to Tracy Beaker, was it?
Yeah, it was big stuff. Well, yeah. from the big stuff to the little stuff, we're heading into some local Facebook forums now.
Okay.
Are you a Facebook dweller, Toussaint? Do you enjoy?
I haven't been on Facebook for like the last 10 years. Then basically I've moved in with my girlfriend, my long-term girlfriend. So she's very like middle class. And it's the first time where like I'm on like a road. Like I always grew up on a like an estate. So like now I'm on like a road and there's like everyone's quite middle class. So it's got like a local group.
Of course it does. Yeah, yeah.
So like I have to be on that now. It's kind of like a requirement, I think, of living there. You've got to be on the Facebook group.
Just talking about whatever inane shit they want to talk about.
It's quite funny. There's like two groups. There's like a main one. There's like a breakaway one, which like...
Of the cool people.
Yeah. Well, or the even worse people.
It's depends, all about a perspective. I was in I used to be in a building block in East Finchley, and there was a WhatsApp group for the building block. They had to talk about the most ridiculous stuff. And then one day, this is really bad actually, this isn't funny. I was sat in bed and something like passed my window. I'm like on the fourth floor. I'm like, what the fuck was that? And I ignore it. And there was definitely a thud. I'm like, I've got to see what this was. And I look out my window and a dog had jumped from the top of the building.
Oh my
God. So I'm like messaging the chat, like somebody's dog's jumped off this roof, da 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 da. And they all go around and sort that. I was still in my underwear. Thankfully, people were awake and actually functioning and they went and sorted out the dog. But then the next month in that WhatsApp group became a mental health watchdog for all the pets in the building.
Wow.
So people were messaging being like, I keep hearing this Pomeranian whining and I don't want the same thing to happen again. As if that dog had killed itself. Everyone was literally messaging like, I've got some spare meat if anyone's dog would want it. I really would like to improve pet happiness.
Oh my gosh.
It's intense.
Sounds like the dog got a lucky escape, to be honest, from people like that.
Just trying to get away from the madness. Well, this is exactly the kind of madness we're talking about. This is a comment from a local Facebook forum. A Taco Bell has been proposed to be built in this area.
Yeah.
And this person has said, this is a bloody disaster. We do not need this in Crewe. If this impacts me and my afternoon bingo sessions, when I get the chance to do them, there'll be bloody murder. We do not need a Taco Bell in our community. We need more for OAPs. I'll never eat there. So I guess Taco Bell's not for OAPs.
I mean, the thing that struck me was Crewe. I think you need everything in Crewe.
Yeah, Crewe's quite a big...
I think I've been to Crewe and it could do with a lot. Yeah. Taco Bell probably is one of the things I would
step
say,
in the right direction. Yeah,
Like, also, like, why can't old people eat tacos?
I suppose, if this sort of person, that sort of spice would kill them.
Right,
a bit of paprika would see them off, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know how it'd impact their bingo, though. I don't know how the Taco Bell would affect their bingo sessions.
Well, I've actually been to bingo. I quite like bingo. When me and my girlfriend were like, when she was pregnant, we couldn't do that much stuff, so we just went to bingo, like the Mecca one in Camden. And I can see why they wouldn't eat tacos, because they are so on the bingo. Like, these old people are just so quick at like dabbing the things.
And you're there with like just...
Yeah, you're just... Oh, you're eating is just... That's not on their mind. They're just like, got to just dab, 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 dab.
Yeah. So this is why you can't have taco at a bingo, because it would interfere with your dabbing. It would
interfere with the dabbing, yeah, 100%. They're athletes. I think that's what you're not understanding about bingo players. These are... You know, their reaction speeds are actually quite good, pretty impressive. Yeah,
I'll be unfair to this woman then, maybe. Maybe she's a peak athlete who needs to not be interrupted. Let's head to our next post. This is from a holiday village. So this is a sort of holiday park. Can I remind everyone that the swim up bar is to be swam up to, drink collected, and then move along. I paid money to use that bar, specifically sold to me by a TUI salesman. It's constantly full of lager louts who never leave the pool for the toilet. Absolutely not what I signed up for. I don't think, I think a swim up bar, you can sit at the swim up bar. You don't have to just get your drink and leave.
Yeah. Also, like, I think after four drinks, I don't think you'd be able to swim anymore safely. I think you have to be at the bar. Like, do you know what I mean? There's the health and safety thing. And also, like, how does he know they, like, what are they doing in that pool? How does he know they don't go to the toilet? Are they toileting in the pool? Like, is that...
Is there sort of, like, a weird sort of aura around them? Sort of ermine.
And also, it's a 2E... package holiday, mate. I don't know what you're expecting.
Yeah.
I think your expectations are a little bit out. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. This is too high expectations from this anonymous member of the Holiday Village.
If it was Jet 2, that's another story. But
yeah,
2E,
you'd expect something good from Jet 2. This is another marketplace post up, and also one half-eaten pan of baked spaghetti, $15. It's just a pan of spaghetti. Looks horrible. Looks old. $15. What do you reckon?
Okay, so I'm going to be controversial on this. I think actually that might be a good shout.
That's mad to some.
No,
that's
because
mad.
Because someone's eaten half of it. You don't eat a half a pan of baked spaghetti if it's not good. You might eat a bit. You might eat a corner, but you're not eating a half.
Okay.
I think that's good spaghetti.
I will concede.
Cold spaghetti is quite nice.
I can concede that it might. Well, you've got to be careful with cold spaghetti because it's very easy to get sort of very dangerous bacteria on it, just as a word of warning. But more importantly, even if it is good spaghetti, I would not buy spaghetti off Facebook Marketplace.
Okay, even if it was like a renowned spaghetti maker.
I don't think a renowned spaghetti maker is doing their business on Facebook Marketplace. But I guess if it was the like Vidal Sassoon of spaghetti.
You got to start somewhere. This person has a spaghetti making dream.
Do you think they've made the spaghetti and it's so good that they've accidentally eaten half?
Yeah, I think they've eaten half as a show of like, I'm backing this spaghetti. I've eaten half of the spaghetti. It's that good.
That's an interesting theory.
Half.
Okay. Oh, well, look, I'll have to disagree
You're either half full tray of spaghetti person or you're a half empty tray of spaghetti person, obviously. I thought you were the positive one out of the two of us, but clearly not.
My bad. Well, look, we'll, before we head into the break, we'll see if we can get some half eaten spaghetti into the studio for you.
Please do. Yeah.
We'll just get this sort of Facebook faux pas from Sussex campervans who, in making their Facebook advert, have accidentally. So they are meant to advertise Sussex campervans, but the Facebook has cropped their image and it just says sex perv. Beautiful. Be careful what you post. Beware of Facebook cropping. We'll see you after this break.
Pulse of the Nation with Andrew White on FUBAR Radio.
Hello and welcome back to Pulse of the Nation. Joining us in the studio, a very special guest, Tiff Stevenson.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me. Came in hot, complained about the parking situation immediately.
This is perfect.
Middle-aged.
This is not middle-aged. This is exactly the tone of the show. I regularly complain about parking. You think it's £10 an hour on the street out there?
Yeah, £8.95 for an hour parking, which in North London, it feels mad. Because it's the quickest way to get from my house to this studio, which is obviously a secret location.
A bunker that no one knows.
Yeah, it's North London to North London. So I'm like, that's 15 minutes in my car, but apparently £9. So
yeah, that is a disgrace. Are you a driver, Toussaint? Do you?
No, I don't drive. I mean, living in London, I've just never had the reason really to drive. I like buses.
I like
being driven around in buses.
I like the idea that you perceive yourself to be being driven around as if it's some sort of chauffeur service.
Well, you're right, mate. And you know, he's driving you just over here.
So you're a bus person rather than a train? Because my husband is a bus person, doesn't like the train. I love the tube.
I actually don't think I've ever met someone who said
that. Well, not love, like, as in a form of, like, for its speed and I can sort of get on, get in. The bus requires more interaction.
Yeah, it's a bit too much.
It's a bit too much, like, you know, and I feel people more openly, like, get into it on the bus. Unless it's late night tube, which is horrific. But I prefer my car. I've always had, and it's a big thing I have about women learning to drive as a life skill that you might need at some point in your life that's going to be very important. So I've had a car since I was sort of 17 and, you know, obviously born and grew up in London. So, you know, from here. But I feel like the car has always given me a little sense of freedom that I know that I can get where I need to get. But it's becoming increasingly more difficult to be able to drive.
Mm. Yeah, I feel the exact same sense of freedom because I grew up in the countryside, so it was like there was no public transport. But also, surely, I'm sorry, I'm going to throw you under the bus here, which you love so much. but surely, as a comedian, I don't know how you can't drive. Like, there's so many gigs that are just, like, closed off to you without that mode of transport.
Yeah, it is tricky. Mainly trains. But even then, there are still buses. Like, I did some gig. It was like, it wasn't even in... I had to get to Durham, and then it was, like, a two-hour bus to, like, God knows where it was. And then I ended up in this kind of... I think it was a town, but it wasn't really... It kind of like a post-apocalyptic kind of, like, wasteland of a town. And there were just, like, these kids, like, what are you doing here? We don't even know why we're here, kind of, like, vibe. And then, but it had, like, a 250-seat theatre. It was mad. And, like, obviously there was 20 people in it, but it was such a lovely Art Deco theatre. It was like... They're just did you find that? They're just like these lovely theatres, like almost every, in the most random of places that I guess at some point was like popping off, but those days have gone.
Those days are gone, and then what happens is a big comedy promoter will come in and go, we'll fill your theatre, we charge you all this money, and then...
Yeah.
God bless them.
But you're on tour at the moment. Never mind the next tour. We should focus
on tour.
Husband material.
Well, yes, I'm doing a few dates. It's just a small tour, and I'm at Soho Theatre on the 1st and 2nd of April. Actually, I'm at Brighton this weekend on the 16th of March. So if you are listening in Brighton, that's where I'll be on the 16th. I'm at Glasgow at St. Luke's on the 20th of March. 1st and 2nd of April is the Soho Theatre dates. And then I'm in like Droitwich Spa, Leeds, and I have a couple of others going out.
Gorgeous.
Stretching out. But the main ones that I'm here to talk about today are the lovely Soho Theatre.
Yes, head dates. To the Soho Theatre. It sounds like a very interesting show. I've unfortunately not actually been able to see it yet. But in your bio, you say you talk about whether you could be a husband and talk about your own husband. And then you also, in your credits, you say you've been seen in Mock the Week. People Just Do Nothing and that Sloth movie.
Yeah.
Are you aware of Tiff's Sloth horror credits?
No.
It's called Slotherhouse. It came out in cinemas in America. So we are... It came out... This was bonkers, right? We had like... It's a comedy horror and it's very much like a kind of almost like B-movie. It's set in a sorority. So I play an American sort of house mother who runs this, who never left the campus. Mm. It's quite tragic. She never made it to president of Sigma Lambda Theta. And she is now just sort of hanging on. Her time was in the 90s, but now she's still there drinking dirty martinis and wistfully thinking of the past. So it's set in an American sorority. And the lead girl in it, she gets a sloth because she wants to get herself voted in as president. So it's kind of almost like this.
And you get a sloth, obviously.
Of course,
that's
popularity on Instagram.
If only Kamala Harris had a sloth.
Yes. Why didn't they think of this at the time? Yeah. So basically, she gets this sloth in order to kind of try and help boost her bid for president of the sorority. And it all goes horribly wrong because the sloth is, she's a badass. As the Americans would say, she's a badass. So it's a killer sloth, basically.
Killer sloth.
Girls start disappearing and it's very much a popularity. It's a kind of bigger sort of satire on how awful teenage girls can be to each other.
That's the real horror, isn't it?
That's the real horror. How social media is ruining us all. So it's quite a clever piece while also being quite schlocky and silly. And I mean, the sloth drives a car at one point. So we're not in the world.
Even a sloth can drive Tucson. Come on.
Think like Gremlins. Gremlins mixed with Mean Girls. And that will give you an idea. Because it's got practical effects in it. And
aren't sloths quite slow? Like, how do they do that?
Yeah, in this...
Can you not get out of the way?
Not as slow as you would think. And claws sharper than you would prefer.
Was it like a person in the sloth? In a costume,
no,
or was it?
No,
like,
it was practical effects. So it was puppets.
Nice. The Guardian called it a masterpiece that surpasses all expectations. So what more do you need? Go check that out. And I feel like we've promoted Slotherhouse more than your own tour. Also, go check out Husband Material in Brighton this weekend and Soho Theatre and beyond. Are you newsy people? Are you a newsy person, Toussaint?
I dip in. Yeah,
that's the way
to
do
like
it. I
feel like you can't stay in it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, like you just it's not.
It's not healthy.
It's not healthy. It's not needed either, because actually the main things don't really change. There are themes, aren't there? Yeah. Someone is an idiot and someone is a bit of a twat.
It's very hard writing jokes for the show because I'm like, okay, I've got my Trump stuff out of the way. What's this the week? Oh, it's the same Trump stuff.
It's Trump again. Trump again. I always find that with, like, I've done, like, I do the Bugle quite a lot, and then when I was doing Mock the Week and stuff like that, you know, getting into, there's a season for it. I'm like, right, okay, I'm fully in now. Mm-hmm. I'm reading stuff. And then when it comes to people like Trump, I really, when I'm writing now, I have to really pull back and away out of Trump as the, because I feel like I've done every version of a joke I can do about him.
Yeah.
So I, you know, like, I tend to now look for the, like, niche odd bits and news stories because also sometimes it's just so bleak.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. it's really depressing. Well, these are not the headlines, though. These are perhaps what you're talking about, the bottom lines, the things that don't catch everyone's attention. These are fill-in-the-blank sort of quiz questions. I'm going to read you a headline. You can tell me what goes into the missing space. Grandmother, 66, gets a shock after Apple's AI calls her a blank. What did Apple AI call this 66-year-old grandmother?
A very young-looking grandmother?
Oh, so do you think she was flattered? A hot slut. You've both gone with the very sort of like Apple AI is.
If my grandmother heard it, I'd say very young looking, but that is the
hot slut.
That's if the grandmother's not in the room version.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's not as sort of like sexually empowering. The Apple AI called her a piece of shit. Louisa Littlejohn from Dunfermline in Scotland received an innocuous voice message from a car dealership in Motherwell that asked, according to the Apple AI, if she'd been able to have sex, and said, come in whenever, you piece of shit.
Wow.
Yes, which is not what the Motherwell car dealership actually said, obviously, but that's what the AI came.
Dunfermline are kicking off about this. This is...
Yeah.
She's from Dunfermline, is she?
Yes, indeed.
And how old did you say she was?
66.
66.
Yeah.
Clickety-click. If she was at the bingo.
We were talking about the bingo earlier. She must be a prime athlete. We're saying bingo players are prime athletes.
That's at your peak, 66 with bingo.
It's a good age.
This next headline. Study shows that sober rats prefer silence, but rats on cocaine prefer blank. Well, so sober rats with no influence, would happy to exist in silence, but when you give them cocaine, they really love
hearing your business proposal.
Hearing your business proposal. Yep.
Yeah, podcast ideas. I've got this great podcast.
Those might be correct answers, but that's not what the research has looked at. They were specifically looking at music, and apparently rats prefer jazz music when they are coked up. Yeah. A study by Albany Medical College has been criticised by animal rights groups as wasteful.
I don't know. I want to know what coked up rats listen to. Yeah. That's important. I feel it's important information. I would have thought it would have been, actually, no, I suppose cocaine, if you'd have said MDMA, I would have been like club music.
Yeah.
Yes.
But that feels right. You could see someone being very cokey and arrogant and talking around jazz.
Yes. All that sort of scrambly, like, yeah. What have you, have either of you ever been coked up, and what was your preference of music at the time?
Was it jazz?
Yeah.
No, I've never done coke with a rat, so I can't.
Fair enough. When you said doo 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 doo, I thought you were doing the Countdown theme. I thought you were like, oh, I like to get coked up and watch Countdown, actually.
That was my fantastic impersonation of jazz, and I can't believe
that.
Well, we have to be careful
with
the
whitest impersonation of jazz, I think, isn't it?
You're welcome. You are welcome, guys.
This is talk radio. We don't have the rights for music, and we were getting into sort of copyright territory there. we end the show, as we do every week, with a bit of a debate, but not really a high, sort of a low-stakes LBC. These are the issues that people aren't discussing. For some reason, they're talking about war and poverty and stuff like that. But we're talking about the big issues.
Low-stakes LBCs.
Low-stakes LBC.
Well, LBC is quite low-stakes.
Even lower than that. Scraping the barrel, LBC. I'm not Nick Ferrari. I'm Nick Ford Focus. That's what I am.
I always find it's weird. Is it? I don't know if it's LBC or maybe it's Talk Sport. What's the one where people call in and they're really racist, but then Uber drivers listen to it?
LBC, LBC.
Like listening to people being really racist on a... Maybe it's to get all the information so they know.
I had this exactly. I got into an Uber, literally, I'm coming back from Backyard Comedy Club, got this guy's Uber, and he's like, oh, Keir Starmer did very well. I was like, what? And he had LBC on, it was Starmer and Trump. And we just listened to an hour of phone calls of just people being racist about his own race, and he was just loving it. He was like, yeah, this is exactly what I tune in for. He was like, what is this? So bizarre.
I think it's like, you want to know what you get to know what they actually think, you know.
They
won't tell you to your face, but they'll tell you live on air.
It's an information gathering exercise.
We should transition LBC to be a like a show where you call in and say the things you can't say to other people's faces. But not just racism, just be like, hi Nick Ferrari, hi James O'Brien, I want to dump my girlfriend Sandra, I've been cheating on her. That should be LBC.
I want to tell my neighbour that he's a piece of shit.
Yeah, maybe
I'll get Apple AI to do that.
So our little debate that the scraping the barrel of LBC is this week. Tesco have trialled giant trolley scales as shoppers say they're being treated like thieves. So this is a Tesco in Gateshead. So they weigh your scale as you head in. They weigh your trolley as you head into the shop, and then when you leave with your scan and shop shopping, they weigh it again and make sure that the weight tallies with what you've scanned. So they're trying to stop shoplifting through this, but they're massive. These are like big machines. Mm. These scales. What do either of you scan creatively at the shelf checkout?
Well, I think if you want to prevent shoplifting, have checkouts with people on them.
Yes. Yeah.
Like stop like making us do your job.
Mm.
I didn't want a job in a supermarket. If I did, I would have worked there. I'm not great on a one-to-one basis. I'm good with rooms of people. Sometimes I'm not great on a one-to-one. But there are people who work in supermarkets who are really good at dealing with the public and want that job. Mm-hmm. So like have people just work in tills. Stop the nonsense.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, part of, I think, I'm trying to, I mean, the only time I've been weirded out with a self-service checkout is at 2 o'clock when the Tesco's used to be 24-hour. And I scanned a bottle of everyday vodka and a pregnancy test. And that was a moment. It said unexpected item. And I was like, do I need in bagging area? Do I need this pregnancy test or not? No. Do you know something I don't? So actually, it's quite good if you've got purchases that you're a little bit embarrassed about.
Yeah.
Or you're, you know.
But then maybe we could
your Vagisil and your condoms and your whatever else, you know.
Maybe we could get rid of self-service, because I agree, I'm not a massive fan of self-service, but then we'll have sort of like a Catholic style, like sort of confession booth. Yeah, exactly. So you go through in complete like silence and separated from everything. Yeah, maybe that's the solution. What do you think of self-service? Are you a fan? Or?
I just find it really awkward. I'm just quite an awkward person. I don't know. I think it's quite hard to be awkward at self-checkout because you're the self in self-checkout. But I still find a way to be. I get really flustered because there's always like a massive queue. So I feel like I'm under pressure. Like people are kind of like scrutinizing, like, am I scanning it like quickly enough? Stuff like that. One time I found myself just like apologizing to the checkout because it said like,
to the machine.
It said unexpected item. Oh. I was like, I'm sorry. I should have given you a bit more of a heads up. Like I didn't know. Like, I'm sorry. So yeah, I just find the whole thing really... Just an awkward interaction. Just,
you are fascinating.
Especially because there's a camera as well.
Oh, yeah,
on
you can
top.
See yourself
so you're
on the screen.
Like, you're being filmed.
If I'm at the checkout with a cap on, go, I've got a really bad hairline, they'll be like coming over for the 25 and they're like walking over. And I take my cap off as they arrive and they go, yeah, tap. Visibly over 25. It is useful because I often forget my ID. But yeah, I'm very fascinated by you, Toussaint, because you were saying earlier, we're talking about, you know, comedians like walk down the street and film themselves. And Toussaint said he doesn't like that sort of interaction with a machine, and it's the same thing again, but then you happily go to a Tommy Robinson rally and just exist
because I mean I don't care what they think.
But you care what the machine at Tesco thinks.
Yeah.
Oh, amazing. Look, you've been such a brilliant guest. It's been a delight to have you both in the studio. You can follow Toussaint at Toussaint_Graham. Maybe check out Purple Drizzle at the Edinburgh Fringe, perhaps coming along.
Ooh,
go follow, check it out.
Yeah, I think so. Oh, go.
Yeah,
Fringe buddies.
Well, then, come to the
let's cry together.
I sadly won't be there. Aww. I know. I'm going to have to miss it this year. It's my first year I've not been at all. So
this is why you're so happy.
I don't live in London and I'm not going to the Fringe.
You're winning at life.
So go check out Toussaint on Instagram. Go check out him live. Tiff, you are at Tiff Stevenson Comic.
Yes.
And you've got Husband Material touring the UK and indeed Soho Theatre. And at the Fringe with a new show?
Yes, Postcoital, I think it's going to be called.
Postcoital. Oh, that's a very enticing title. So go check out Toussaint and Tiff. You can follow Danny Harmer, our guest earlier, the one and only Tracy Beaker. Thank you to Danny. Thank you to Kieran and Yasmin in the production booth at FUBAR Radio for all your radio needs. I'm at Stand Up Andrew. This is also available as a podcast. You may be listening on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, on Google Podcasts, whatever you get your podcast from. Give us a rating. Why not? Give us 5 stars. It really helps the algorithm. Really appreciate it. We'll see you next week for more Pulse of the Nation.
Pulse of the Nation with Andrew White on FUBAR Radio.